There you go. That's Billy Bragg with You Woke Up My Neighbourhood. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music.
You're saying there you go as if people requested that or wanted it.
Yeah, they did want it.
Everyone wants some Bragg.
Everyone likes a delicious slice of Bragg first thing.
The barge.
Could I have another? No, you can't.
This is Adam and Joe. Welcome to our Saturday morning show here on BBC Six Music. We're here with you until noon. And it's like I've thought of a simile or a metaphor. The show's like a box of chocolates.
Is it?
Has anyone used that before?
No. It's never been used.
Only...
In what way is it like a box of chocolates?
Because there's different ones.
Yeah, you never know what you're gonna get.
That's right.
Is that what you mean?
Yes. Okay, good. Different segments and stuff. It's more like an orange.
It's exactly like an orange.
It's like an orange. For instance, we are gonna be announcing the winner of last week's Song Wars.
Mm. Sorry, can I just ask you, can you just pronounce for instance a bit better? Because it is like...
For instance?
It was like for instance.
There is a new government directive that those words have been combined.
Yeah.
They've been conjoined.
You know, you can lose your job for that.
Yeah. For instance?
At the BBC by saying for instance.
Yeah, for instance.
That's a town in France.
That would be a good name for an instant frothy drink.
It would, wouldn't
for
it?
For instance.
For instance.
By... Anyway, let's play some music or say what else is coming up. What else is coming up?
Yeah, Song Wars. We've got a lot of Song Wars business to resolve.
We've got this week's Song Wars and we've got last week's Song Wars to pay off. We're going to be announcing the winner of last week's Song Wars very soon. Yeah. We're going to have Text the Nation's favourite segment.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about my trip to Radiohead Studios.
Exactly. I'm excited about that. And all sorts of other rambly nonsense coming up. But let's get into some more music right now. Here's some Baby Shambles. This is You Talk.
Baby Shambles with You Talk. That was delightful. And it's a lovely morning. I'm filling here, Joe.
You're doing a good job, man. Yeah. We've got lots of other great music coming up. This hour alone, we're going to have Althea and Donna in a second.
Uptown Top Rank.
I love that record.
It's a classic track.
We've got some Strokes, some Bloke Party. Oh, we've even got some Main Source. Yeah, this is looking great.
But you should, I know, you, cause sometimes we drop some of these songs, and then people might get upset.
Yeah, well, I was just sticking the flag in the mountain for those particular bands.
Right.
We can't drop them now.
Fair enough.
It's a crafty technique.
Yeah, that's very...
Hey, have we got a Song Wars jingle we could play? You're going to be hearing this jingle a lot this morning.
Well, we're not going right into Song Wars just yet.
I thought we were going to pay off last week's Song Wars.
We're going to do it in just a second.
Okay.
But first of all, we've got some more music for you. Oh, this is one of my choices. I chose this one. This is a good track. This is from Sparks, and it's from their album, Number One Song in Heaven. This is when they went all kind of disco and weirdly techno-ish. Hope you enjoy it. It's called My Other Voice.
Nah. They've got them cymbals backwards, mate. Nah.
How embarrassing.
How embarrassing. Oh, dear. Whoops. Another boo-boo.
Listen, Ron, I don't know how to tell you this. You know the song we just did? The cymbals are backwards.
Russell, how could you have done that?
Is that what happens if you just put them on upside down?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real. That's how they get that noise.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Good morning. Hope you're having a lovely Saturday morning. Not you, you.
Yeah.
You one.
That was Sparks, incidentally, yeah. You just heard with the track called My Other Voice. Hope you enjoyed it. And sorry we had to hold off on the Song Wars thing there. There's just a little bit of drama happened. Just a little bit of drama.
I felt my authority was compromised.
Sorry, man. Didn't want to compromise your authority, but, you know...
I'm sorry. I didn't. I don't mind.
We were going to play clips of last week's Song Wars tracks.
Hey, let's do it now.
It's time for Song Wars. The War of the Songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test. So check it out.
And of course we had to put our songs to a delayed listener test last week because the show was pre-recorded. But now we're back live, so we didn't know who had won last week. Last week the songs were constructed around found... lyrics, weren't they?
That's right. We asked listeners to send in found text, recipes, instructions, that kind of thing. I'm just receiving the envelope here with the winner inside it.
Can't wait to get grubby little hands on the envelope.
And so your votes came in during the week. They flooded in.
They did.
They had to install new plumbing.
And I had quite a long song, and it was the lyrics were about. We don't have a copy of the lyrics to hand, do we?
No, why would we?
Well, it was basically.
For what possible reason?
It was basically the instructions to IKEA frozen meatballs.
That's the reason.
And we constructed our songs around those instructions, word for word. I'm a little bit disgruntled this morning because I had to play a version last week that was not quite finished because we had to rush into the studio. It was pre-recorded, and I went to town. I didn't go all the way to town. I stopped just short of the town.
On the outskirts
of town. Yeah, I was on the outskirts of the town, so I played a track that wasn't, in my view, quite finished. And I spent yesterday remixing it, getting it pristine, but there was a bit of a mix-up.
But that's queering the pitch a bit, isn't it?
It is a little bit.
Because your song is your song on the day that it's played.
Fair enough.
You can't go and wiggle it about.
Well, I guess. But anyway...
I mean, that was a statement, not a question. You can't.
No, you can.
I'm opening the envelope.
Well, we have to hear clips.
Oh, we have to hear clips, that's true.
I've got the full songs.
Okay, so these are last week's songs. They're on the subject of meatballs, the IKEA meatball recipe. We'll start with my little shorty one. Yeah. This is my kind of... We decided it was Stadium Bowie. Yeah. Glass Spider period, Stadium Bowie. This is the recipe for IKEA meatballs.
Place the meats back. Place the meats back. Place the meatballs, place the meatballs. Place those meatballs, place the meatballs.
Place the meatballs in an oven-proof dish.
Place the heat
at 225 degrees centigrade for about 15 minutes in a microwave at 700 watts. Place the meatballs in a bowl without a lid and heat at full power for 4 to 5 minutes. Stir after half the time. I said, stir the meatballs after half the time. Come on.
No, I don't like this. It hasn't stood the test of time. No. This is a good bit.
Give me meatballs.
Come on, meatballs.
It's nice at the end, though.
Yeah, the ending's the best bit. I'm, you know, I very much doubt that'll win.
It starts strong.
If it wins, there's something wrong.
Right.
Out there.
Now, listen, I'm not proposing we hear the whole of mine because, A, I'm not happy with the mix.
Yeah.
B, it's very long. So let's just hear the beginning of my version of meatballs. This is a sort of New York punk version.
Heating instructions from frozen. Place the meatballs in an oven-proof dish.
That sounds... It sounds dreadful.
It sounds good. I like it. I wouldn't want to eat this guy's meatballs.
I don't even think it's coming out stereo, is it?
Yeah.
Minutes.
That's good. I like that little screen.
In a microwave.
You see all this bit.
At 700 watts.
I've remixed all this.
I just think his kitchen would be filthy.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough meatballs there. There's a nice little bit at the end. There's a nice coda where there's a big chorus and everyone sings along. Meatballs.
Is there? What, on the new version?
No, on this one.
Really?
But listen, let's find out who's won.
So those were the songs. Oh, this is a scandal. I've won.
No.
Yeah,
way.
That is scandalous, listeners. I've won by 68%. Is that 68%? Really true?
68%.
For my awful Bowie dirge that I did in 4 minutes.
Look, what does this indicate? This indicates that either...
You know what, Adam? I'm what's the word? I'm surrendering that victory and giving it to you.
No,
I'm like Marlon Brando at the Oscars. You're my Red Indian.
Right. No, who was it that gave... It was Cuba Gooding Jr. that gave away his Oscar, wasn't it?
That's a more recent example.
Yeah, yeah.
But Marlon did do that, I do believe, as well.
Well...
It's saying Adam's 32%, Joe's 68%.
Here's the chorus.
Frozen meatballs.
That's what you didn't vote for, you lunatics.
So what does that bring the score to now on Song Wars? 3-0.
3-0.
You see, this is a tricky situation. You fade it down, please. No, it's hurting my brain. This is the situation now in Song Wars. This is our fourth show. We've done three editions of Song Wars. Joe, have won all three. So, but don't let that prejudice this week's Song Wars.
Here we go.
Don't let your pity for Adam prejudice. Base the songs on their merits.
Could you be the most ungracious man in the United Kingdom?
I just think that there should be sort of a, you know, scientific accuracy on this thing.
Oh my goodness. Listen, we'll come back to Song Wars a little later on, but first here's some more music, some proper music. This is Susie and the Banshees with Christine.
Christine.
She was in the Banshees with Christine, who was involved in the alien attack in War of the Worlds.
Christine?
She was disintegrated.
Yes, that's right.
She was the one when he was running past the car.
Yeah, yeah.
And you saw it reflected in the wing mirror.
It's very sad, isn't it?
It was very sad.
But she was disintegrated. Before that, she was a strawberry girl.
Is that true?
Yeah.
What a life Christine has had. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music.
Now, Joe, maybe you can tell me about the Tesco ad with the Spice Girls in it. Have you seen that one?
No.
Have you not?
No, but word on the street is that telly's full of these amazingly expensive, lavish Christmas commercials.
Right.
They're throwing bigger and bigger Hollywood stars.
I mean, they must do.
Hello there.
That's how you pronounce it now, isn't it? That's the official pronunciation.
Yeah, with a slightly, sort of halfway to going, eh.
Exactly. Now that there aren't any proper big stars or blockbusters.
Or good films, you pronounce it. Hello. But word is that because there's all those commercials out there, it's like the 50s again.
In what?
What? No, the 40s. I don't know, but it's recessionary.
Yeah.
Right, there's like an edge of desperation to it.
I mean, that must have cost a lot of money. Unless the Spice Girls were taking a significant cut on their usual
fee. They work for very little money now.
Well, I would imagine they work for less than they did at the height of girl power, you would think. But still, even so, they've probably got powerful agents, they must be wangling them some decent fees, and you're multiplying a pretty good fee by five as soon as you harness the power of the girls. And then, anyway, if you haven't seen this ad, folks, this is an ad for a big supermarket chain, Tesco's, and it's for Christmas shopping there, and it features all the girls running around doing their shopping. I think the idea is that they're buying things for each other, for the other members of the Spice Girls.
It's a far-fetched scenario, but we'll go with it.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's fraught with a lot of problems.
Is there a bit where they shove razor blades into the gifts they've bought for each other?
No.
Is there? No. They wouldn't do that.
No, they all get on very well now.
That's right.
Yeah, they're all delightful friends. But it's weird because they keep hiding from each other, you know? Like, as soon as the whole thing is like when Mel B comes around the corner, Posh Spice suddenly jumps in front of a TV screen that has her face on it anyway, thereby disguising herself because she's everywhere. That's the idea.
Sounds amazing.
It's sort of amazing. But it's very odd because, like, they're all just desperately hiding from each other, you know what I mean? And I can't figure out if they're hiding from each other because they don't want each other to see the gifts they've got each other, or they're just ashamed that they're so cheap.
They're just really thick.
Right.
They're really stupid. It's like toddlers.
Yeah.
They just like to hide and stuff.
Okay. I just wanted to check.
Hey, if you know the answer to Adam's quandary, don't forget you can text us at any point on 64046 or email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. BBC.co.uk.
And then you just, you slipped up at the end there. Althea and Donna time. Here's Uptown Top Ranking.
Six Music. Next week.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? That's the Strokes with Someday. And this is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music.
Hi.
That's Joe Cornish saying hi.
Now, I feel sorry for Craig David this week. I don't know if you've been reading the mags, but Craig David's got a new album out that probably no one that listens to Six Music will be interested in. Neither am I. But God bless him and everything.
Yeah.
What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say people that listen to Six Music have very Catholic
tastes. They have Catholic tastes?
Yeah.
Does that mean broad?
Yeah.
Catholics don't have broad tastes. They have very... I was baptised a Catholic, but they have quite limited, strict rules.
Yeah, but...
Where's that expression come from, then?
I have no idea.
Okay. Anyway, Craig David's been speaking out in the press about how Avid Merrian's Beau Selector sketch affected him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. He sort of waited until Beau Selector's sort of off the cultural radar a bit.
Yeah.
And now he's spilling his heart about how it psychologically affected him.
Really?
It kind of ruined his life.
No.
For about 2 years, yeah. Everywhere he went.
Craig David.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He looked at his own face in the mirror and started to hate it. You laugh. But it's interesting, isn't it? As comedians, sometimes one does impressions or things that could be slightly cruel about people, or, you know, and you think, well, they're famous, they can take it.
Yeah.
But, it's not true.
That's true, isn't it? I was watching an episode of Larry Sanders this week, an old Larry Sanders episode, about exactly this thing. And
really?
He gets, who's the guy from Wayne's World? Not Mike Myers, but,
Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey does an impression of Larry Sanders, of Gary Shandling, and it's really cruel. And he's whining like this, and he's saying, oh, my ass looks big in these pants.
And I remember that one.
And it totally destroys his confidence, and he can't get beyond this impression that he's doing, and he's trying to get reassurance from everyone that he's not really like that, you know.
We did a thing on a series of our ancient show where Adam did a very good impression of Zane Lowe.
It wasn't very accurate, though.
It was quite good, though.
It was supposed to be...
Did you ever worry that that might, you know...
A little bit, yeah, because I heard from someone...
He wasn't even that famous at the time.
No. I heard from someone that he didn't really like, or he said, what's so funny about it? You know, as you would if someone said, oh, there's someone doing an impression of you. And usually, you see, if someone does an impression of you, it's usually to you, not accurate in any way.
Not to millions of the public. Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just sort of think, that's not me at all. What? I don't understand.
But that's almost worse. You know, Craig David... doesn't talk like that, and his face isn't that extended, his chin isn't that big.
But listen, I would say that Lee Francis, who does Bo Selecta, would be in exactly the same camp as I was with Zane Lowe, as a fan, you know what I mean? Like, as a genuine fan.
But what about the consequences of his action? Craig David couldn't walk down the street without being mocked.
No, exactly, that didn't happen to Zane Lowe.
No.
I know, that's harsh, you know?
I must say I felt for Craig David, and I thought, in future... I might steer away from that sort of thing.
Right.
It's just a little bit cheap.
On the other hand, man, people delight
it
in
is
that
fun.
Impression. At the same time,
fun.
Craig David did embrace it at the time. I mean, he had to.
Well, he says in these interviews that he would be really polite to Lee Francis?
Lee Francis, yeah.
Yeah, and enthusiastic and stuff. But then at one stage, he did corner Lee Francis about it.
Right.
Backstage at a gig, and he said, you're ruining my life!
No.
Yeah. There was swearing in the article I read.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
No, because I remember Lee Francis saying that he was going on stage with Craig David at one point.
That's right. Craig David appeared in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
But he hated it. It ruined his life. And now he's having to, every interview he does for his new album, he's being asked about it.
Right.
So really, the Bo Selecta creation has got more sort of a... cultural longevity.
Yeah, you got there.
Yeah. I'm tired. I'm finished. Let's play another music.
Craig David.
Come on.
You're just keeping it going.
Yeah, of course.
Poor Craig David.
Craig.
I'm going to buy his record just as a sort of a charity gesture.
Craig David.
He shaved the beard off. It's a new Craig David. Right, look, we're starting it again now.
What have we got now? We got some Block Party for you folks. This is Flux.
Spatchcock. That's the intense sounds of Dirty Shirty, who will be supporting the naughty men at the Nunty Rooms in Depressor all this week. Meat Farm.
That is Adam Zane Lowe impression.
See,
somebody texted us in to ask for the, to hear that impression.
It's not a very accurate impression. And in fact, he's not like that anymore. My impression was based on Zane in the olden days when he was on MTV, and he was just starting out, and he was incredibly intense. The thing that, I mean, I liked the show because, like, it was a proper, unironic show about his enthusiasm for music, you know.
You'd use that kind of convenient get-out clause that it was an homage.
It was a homage. It really genuinely was. But in the same... You know, in the same respect, you always latch on to the thing that is ludicrous about something you love. Do you know what I mean? Like, especially when people do things that are from the heart, it's easy to kind of have a little giggle.
It's a dangerous game doing things from the heart.
Yeah, well, exactly. But if you're a true original, which I genuinely believe Zane Lowe is, you know what I mean? Mm. He's someone who's blazed a trail for his passion, which is indie music. And if you're someone like that who's like genuinely coming from a sincere place, then it's quite easy to have a little chuckle at you. But Lee Francis, you know, he based his entire career on just not just a person, but a phrase in the person's song, Bo Selecta. What's that joke you just got?
It's quite a good joke. This is probably his old, very, very old. It's okay. Craig David seems to be picking himself back up again. Did you hear he's training for the 2012 Olympics? Apparently he's going to be on the Great Britain archery team. He won't actually be firing any arrows, though. He's just the Bo Selecta.
There you go. Nice. Nice job. You know, Zane actually invited us to the...
I got that invite,
fifth
yeah.
...year anniversary party.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can make it, but I'd really like to have gone.
To apologise.
Yeah, I've seen him since then. I saw him a few years ago.
You can't apologise enough, though.
No, maybe...
You know, the difference is that lots of people watched Bo Selecta, whereas nobody watched our television programme.
Well, exactly. The thing is that Zane Lowe is far more successful than we are.
Us. Okay, it's time for Text the Nation.
Textination. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
That's right, this is the part of the show where we ask you to send us texts.
It's as simple as that. And this week, the theme of the Text the Nation feature is, what superhero powers would you have if it was up to you? If you could choose any kind of special superhero power, like in the program Heroes, what would your power be?
The text number is 64046. Yeah, and remember, this is important.
It is very important. It's the nation's favourite feature. So if you don't support the nation's favourite feature, then you're involved in feature side, which is crime.
Bad. Now listen, we usually offer some suggestions of our own. I found this one a bit tricky.
So did I.
You suggested it.
I know, it seemed like a good idea.
What were you playing at?
I don't know.
I tell you why, because a lot of people are already all over it.
Right.
The film Mystery Men.
Yeah.
The film The Specials.
Uh-huh.
Heroes.
What's The Specials?
It's a kind of bad American superhero spoof film.
Not
came out direct to DVD over here.
Not a biopic about the Coventry.
No, sadly not. That would be good, though.
Yeah.
Who else does it? I think there's an ITV comedy coming up called No Heroics about superheroes with silly powers.
Gosh. With silly powers, these are.
Well, silly-ish. You know, it's tricky with superpowers, isn't it? They're a tricky thing.
Yeah.
They usually come in a couple of forms. In the world of Stan Lee, and that kind of thing, the DC and Marvel world,
yeah,
they usually either replicate a power that something in the world already has, like an animal, or they're an expression of some kind of internal conflict.
They're usually fairly elemental, like the classic superheroes. You know, they're very strong.
Elemental is a good word. Yeah, they're to do with an animal or a substance.
Yeah.
A spider, iron, that kind of thing, an ant.
Yeah, and of course, the modern...
Joe's laughing at ant. Why are you laughing at ant?
Who's an ant?
Ant-Man.
Joe's just written a...
I've just written a screenplay. It's like Marvel Ant-Man. Based on Ant-Man.
So he's a little... He's a little touchy.
I do know what I'm talking about.
A little touchy about the ants.
But my superhero powers, I was thinking, and I guess this is the way that superheroes are going now, is very specific modern-day powers, like something useful in an everyday context.
Right, like to be able to eject a CD tray.
Is that one
of yours? Modern? No.
Ejector.
Ejector.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be quite good.
That would be quite... No one has CD trays anymore, do they?
Don't they?
No, because you're sticking your CD in the computer.
You don't want to know where I stick my CD.
Oh, stop it, will you please? So I was thinking my superhero would be called Kiwolo, the Locator. And he would be able... Just stay with me for a second to locate keys and wallets.
I can't believe he went with the key gambit.
Kiwolo.
It's good, Kiwolo.
Were you thinking of keys as well?
It did cross my mind.
I will.
The finding the keys.
Yeah.
Yeah?
But everyone wants that superhero power. So far, I haven't seen that superhero represented.
So you've got the foot, you've got healing people.
Yeah.
You've got, like, even making things float, saving lives, and you're going for key locating.
And wallets.
It's a very selfish power.
In minutes.
And wallets in minutes. Would you do this for other people? Would you be altruistic, or would it just be for yourself?
Kiwolo can only find his own keys and wallets.
I don't think you need a superpower for that. I think there's something they sell at Argos for that.
No, there's a little thing that you...
Argos is superpowered in some ways.
Well, there's a thing that you can attach to your keys and you whistle and it beeps at you, but it's no good because it's so annoying that after a day or so you rip it off and you throw it in the bin and then the bin beeps at you thereafter. So Kiwolo the Locator, that would be one of my...
Why is he called Kiwolo?
Because it's keys and wallets.
Okay.
So I was trying to represent...
Yeah, sorry, it sounded Aboriginal for a second.
Yeah, well, that's... Maybe he's an Aboriginal...
South African.
He might wear an Aboriginal guise.
Yeah.
You know, costume.
Yeah.
The other... I was in real trouble.
Clearly.
Universal Remotron?
I can't believe you thought of this.
I really tried hard. Universal Remotron can change channels on any set. No matter where he is.
Also available in the shops.
Well,
for $14.99.
Again, those I've bought those things. They're very hard. You have
right.
to program them with the specific
right.
number of the TV set, and it's a fallacy that there's such a thing as a universal remote. But Universal Remotron would have true universal remote powers.
Yeah.
Oh, crikey. and here's
there's another one.
I was running out. At this point, I was in real trouble.
I've got one.
Go on, what's yours?
I was going to be, I'd be an unpopular superhero. Because I'm Mr. Reasonable.
Mr. Reasonable.
And I just have a power to make everyone behave reasonably.
That's a nice idea.
That would be an amazing power. I'd be parachuted, because I can't fly, or choppered, into any location.
Yeah.
And I go...
And waves, noise, wasn't it?
Waves of reasonability. Waves of reasonability. Everyone would just go... if people were having an argument, I'd say, stop it! Hey, you! I'm gonna...
You could be called Chillaxor.
I like that. Chillaxor.
You know...
Everybody just relaxes, they're reasonable, hey. They have a cup of tea.
And your catchphrase
and they
be,
think about
hey,
the
hey,
situation.
Hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey.
Come on, guys. Hey, guys, come on. Take a chill pill.
What kind of costume would you have?
I don't know. I need to think about
reasonable.
That. But that would be, I mean, that would be a genuinely incredible power, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
I would
yeah.
be very in demand by peace-loving people,
right.
but I would also expose all the people who are actually interested in causing conflict.
The warmongers would hate Chillaxor.
The double-crossing governments who stage incidents,
exactly,
illicitly finance revolutions and stuff
like
business,
that. They would hate
big business.
Big business
evil.
With a vested interest in local skirmishes and wars. They would want
exactly.
To,
they'd want to get rid of me.
Exactly.
I'd be a litmus test.
We must destroy Chillaxor. He's making everyone
yeah.
reasonable.
Other superheroes would hate me because. They'd want to get involved in big spectacular fights up the main street.
Yeah.
And I'd just calm everything down. I wouldn't be popular in the film biz.
No, because no. you'd be too dull.
No, exactly.
Much too dull.
Anyway, text your superpower suggestions to 64046, please.
Now, here's main source. Are you enjoying the... Did you pick this one?
Yeah, this is quite an old track. This is a hippity-hoppity track. It's one of my all-time favourites. It's by a band that kind of vanished, but when they were around, they were brilliant. It's from 91. It's called Looking at the Front Door. This is main source. There we go, main source with Looking at the Front Door includes a fantastic lyric about a burnt piece of bacon. You treat me like a burnt piece of bacon.
Well, how would you treat a burnt piece of bacon? You'd be you'd be delighted, wouldn't you?
No, it's very bad for you.
Is it?
All any burnt food is very bad for you. I'm not actually sure that's true, but that's the rumour, isn't it?
Pretty much everything is carcinogenic.
Is it?
Yeah, bad vibes, toast.
Bad vibes?
Yeah.
Can you get ill off of bad vibes?
Definitely.
Wow.
Definitely. Bad vibes, the number one killer.
Really?
In Europe. Yeah.
Wow.
And that's, true.
There we go. So, nice intonation, man.
Yeah. We're gonna have a little session track for you in just a second, and this is one that I chose for you. Have we got any, in the interim, have we got any emails about superheroes trickling in there?
Yep, they're coming in. And don't forget, we primed listeners for this last week, so during the week we've had quite a few superpower-based emails come in, but do keep texting 64046 or email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk with your the superpower what you would like.
Coming up in the next hour here on BBC Six Music, we have an update on Song Wars. We're going to be launching this week's...
Lunching.
We're going to be lunching and launching this week's Song Wars, and we'll be talking to the people responsible
it's for a good one this week.
Suggestions.
Yeah, it's a good one. Song Wars is good this week.
Yeah, because... we got people to suggest friends of theirs that they would like us to write songs about.
Yeah.
So they supplied us with salient facts about those friends, and Joe and I went off individually and composed songs about their friends. You'll be hearing those in the next hour. But right now, here is my session track this week. This is from a really great band, and this is a brother and sister team, isn't it? And that's always a strange thing in a band, and the Fiery Furnaces are certainly one of the more unusual bands around right now in every way. You know, not just the fact that they're brother and sister and they argue quite a lot, I believe, but they make a very strange racket. This is one of the more conventional tracks that we're playing right now from a session from 2004. And I really fancy the singer. Oh, my Lord. She used to go out with the lead singer of Franz Ferdinand. Not for very long. And that slightly put me off. Not because I don't like Franz Ferdinand, but that guy's a, you know, he's a little bit of a ponce, isn't he?
Yeah, you don't want to go where he's been.
No, exactly. But she seems, there's something about her that's so...
I didn't mean it like that.
Of course you did.
Just to places, on holiday.
Anyway, speaking of lovely places that you'd like to go, here's a track called Tropical Island. This is Fiery Furnaces from a BBC Six Music session from 2004. I hope you enjoy.
Adam's pick of the BBC archive.
A little extra whistle riff there at the end.
You ruined it.
Did I? I'm
yeah.
sorry.
You came in there and you ruined Peter, Bjorn and John.
You know, that whistling is very addictive, isn't it? That song, do you think that song would be the song it was without the whistling?
No, I mean, it's sparse, isn't it?
But is all the tune alone what does it, or is it the fact that it's a kind of building site whistle.
It's the whistle. Everything works on that song. It's absolutely, they got it exactly right. And her little
but my
vocal.
My proposition is that whistling in and of itself is a brilliant kind of nuclear pop missile.
Right.
And I'm suggesting that next week's Song Wars, we factor in some whistling.
Do a whistling song?
Well, no, it's not a whistling song, but there must be an element of whistle there.
Is that the only criterion?
No, we'll have another criteria, but it's a sub-criteria.
I can never remember.
It's sub-criticious.
Do you say criterion? Criterion is not the singular of criteria, is it?
I love it when we talk about stuff like this.
I just need to check. Otherwise, I'm going around.
What's the question? Criterion?
Is criterion. We had this discussion
criterion
before.
Is
criterion
it
is not the singular of criteria.
No.
No.
No, you can have one criteria.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a Asian film director.
Is he?
One criteria.
That's racist.
Is this?
Yeah, you're fired.
Bye.
Bye.
Come back.
He's out. No, he should collect his pass, man. This is the Big British Castle.
Right.
You can get destroyed
That's
for that.
Bad.
He's rubbing his eyes. Of course it's not racist, you lunatic. Hey, have you been watching I'm Celebrity Get Me Out of Here?
You know, I watched, I managed to miss it, but then I tuned in for 2 minutes, and it happened to be the 2 minutes.
Right, with the lady going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Janice. What's her surname? Dickinson.
Yeah, I had to switch it off because I thought, this is a terrible thing. I've tuned in at exactly the sticky moment.
It traumatised Anton Deck. We're talking about a live Bush Tucker trial, folks. This is the show, of course.
I don't want to talk about it.
Celebrities
listen.
In the jungle. And this was on Thursday night, I think, and they had a live Bush Tucker trial with this kind of insane ex-supermodel that they've got on there called Janice. And it was a sort of disastrous half hour of TV with basically her just screaming and having a little fit about not wanting to stick her head in this a little jar of spiders and rats and snakes that they've got, the usual sort of stuff. Stuff that you, of course, admittedly would not relish the thought of doing under normal circumstances. But you would think that once you've gone out to the Australian jungle and been paid your considerable fee, you know, you'd be prepared for that kind of thing. Anyway, she refused to do it and it was sort of, it started out being fun watching it, but then got a little bit annoying, and you could tell that Ant and Deck were just thinking, this is no good, what can we do? And there was no way they could hurry it along. Luckily, Biggins was there.
She wasn't respecting the camera angles was the worst thing.
She wasn't respecting
She wasn't standing
angles.
Where she should have stood and...
Right.
And she was, her back was to the camera, she was
also
blocking big ones.
She was dropping the F-bomb
Biggins.
All over the place.
Yeah, she said something bad about holes. It was a disaster.
Yeah.
I ain't watching that stuff.
Right. Well, I am. I can't get enough. You know, Ant and Deck are good presenters, man, but even they were taxed to the limits by that one.
Come on, Six Music.
I tell you what,
I just think people listening to this station are not interested.
There's no shame in watching a bit of I'm a Celebrity. I think it's a good show. The thing that worries me at the moment is that there's an ongoing romance situation with Keris from Catatonia, who I'm surprised to see in there in the first place, to be honest.
It's a shame.
She's a nice person. And this guy, Mark, I don't even know who Mark is. There's a lot of people on the show this time round. I have no clue whatsoever who they are. Oh, I went But is this guy, Mark, he might be a puppeteer, for all I know, a children's entertainer.
I don't care.
But there's some flirting, there's some high-level flirting going on, and both of them are in steady relationships. Do you not feel bad for their partners?
I don't care.
Come on, you must care.
I really, no disrespect to you, really don't care.
Yeah, but put yourself in the mind of someone who did care.
I don't care, I don't think they're humans.
Of course they're humans.
I'm not sure that they are.
Yeah, but they're real.
I think when you agree to go on that show, I think you hand in your ticket.
Well, you don't. I mean, the thing is that someone like Keris...
I'd have more sympathy for Craig David's predicament than anyone in that show.
Yeah, but, well, he's in exactly the same position. Once you're out in the public sphere...
Those people are inviting anything.
No, of course not. Well, you could say that Craig David, by wanting to have a pop career, invited
him. No, I think there's a distinction. I do, actually.
No,
I do,
you're
actually.
Insane. No, anyway, I feel bad for them, because it's like Chantel and Preston all over again, do you know what I mean? I feel bad for the real people in these situations who get caught in the sexy crossfire. That's what I'm saying.
Hey.
I hope they can stay faithful.
Yeah, no, good luck to them.
Yeah.
I don't wish any ill on them. Apparently, criteria is the plural, and criterion is the singular. Like media and medium.
Yeah.
Come on, boys, you're educated people. You should know these things, says Faith.
But then you can say the media as a sort of collective noun.
I tell you what, during the next record, I'll pop over to Radio 4 and ask someone in there. They'll know.
That would be nice. Would you like some Kaiser Chiefs?
Yes, please.
Well, here's some for you.
Mmm, lovely.
Text the nation. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
There you go. All the rules of Text the Nation handily explained within the body of the jingle. And before that, you heard the Kaiser Chiefs with one of their thongs. It was called Love's Not a Competition.
But I'm winning!
In brackets. Now, we are asking you to text us this week, or email us, of course, about superhero powers, superpowers that you wish you had. Have we got any there, Joe?
We have. Here's my favourite one so far. This is from Simon in Sevenoaks. His name is Simon Truett. T-R-U-E-T-T. He says, hello, chaps. My superpower would be to cause mediocre indie bands to split up. My secret name would be Splitter. I'd start with the Stereophonics.
Splitter?
No, kids don't say R anymore. They say ah.
Splitter.
Splitter.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good.
Kids won't understand it if you say Splitter.
And he's starting with the Phonics.
He's starting with the Phonics. Yeah, he is starting with the Phonics.
That's not a bad place to start.
No. I'd be interested, Simon, in knowing what other mediocre indie band Splitter would split up. It'd be good, wouldn't it? Because he'd be quite a mysterious superhero. Mm. He would just shuffle backstage anonymously in a sort of long trench coat and fedora.
Yeah.
And you'd see him lurking in a corner while the band were having their post-show party. And his sort of insidious influence would cause the drummer to say something inflammatory.
Right.
To the bassist. The lead singer would then step in to defend the bassist. Schism. Week exactly. Later, split.
Well, Splitter would go up, maybe, once he's insinuated himself into the entourage, he would go up to the drummer and say, you know, Gary, you're really talented. You should do a solo album. That
yes.
Kind of thing. And so he starts with the drummer. The drummer starts getting ideas above his station, goes off to do his solo album. Not a big problem. You know, they just get rid of Stuart Cable and get the new sexy guy in the case of the Phonics. But then, what's his next move? What's Splitter's next move? He goes up to the lead singer and he starts saying, these guys are not supporting your vision, you know.
Yeah. They're weighing you down.
You should branch out.
Yeah.
Because the band is becoming safe and you've got amazing new ideas and everyone likes you more than they like the whole band.
Splitter might have been in the room with us at some point. Do you think?
Around about when?
Do you think, I don't know, maybe like...
Around about 2001.
About 2001.
Yeah.
And maybe...
Get rid of the tall guy. You're the sexy one.
That's what he said to you, yeah. You wouldn't believe what he said
to
me.
What did he say to you?
Oh, I can't say it because it turned out to be true.
Get rid of Fatso.
But that could be like a myth. People could go, Tommy, I saw a bloke backstage. I'm sure it was Splitter. Be careful, man. I'm sure it was...
Don't be stupid. Splitter doesn't exist. Come on, Charlene. Let's go and snort some powder. That's what happens backstage.
In bands.
Yeah, in bands.
In bands.
I think that's a good idea. Well done, Mr. Man, who sent that in.
That's Simon.
A piece of paper now. Simon, yeah.
Simon from Amstel.
Okay, here are some more that have come in via emails. I'm going to do a bit of flicking through them.
Love it when you
okay.
Do a little bit of flicking.
You see, people have gone for quite tawdry stuff along the lines of your tawdry key finding one.
That's not tawdry.
It's a bit tawdry. Heather says, hello, Adam and Joe. Also inspired by Heroes, we've had discussions in my office about which superpower we'd like to have, although we decided to go for minor superpowers. Have your bag always come off the luggage conveyor belt first at
the
airport.
That's a good one. That's a good superpower.
I have that power.
Do you?
It's called first class. Having the bus you want arrive at the bus stop just after you arrive.
Yeah.
I can sympathise with
that's
one.
That's a very good one.
Not being able to wait.
Are these all from the same person?
Yeah, these are all from... Oh, these are from Heather, Katya, Nicola and Sarah in BELB03. I think they're in the film THX1138.
Right, and
they're in a cell. Cell BELB03.
Their heads are shaved, they're just wearing
their
white gowns.
On the napes of their neck.
Those are good suggestions.
Yep. To always... Another one is always being able to see at a gig.
I'd love that.
That's kind of the power that E.T. has, an extendable neck.
Yes.
I sort of have one, actually.
My disability of not being able to see at gigs has meant that I've gotten so many rucks. I was thinking the other day about when I went to see David Byrne at Shepherd's Bush Empire, which is one of my least favourite venues because I can never see. And I was standing on the steps just by the bar to get a little, and suddenly I thought, oh, I can see David Byrne, I love you! And then the security guard's like, off the steps! I immediately got in an argument with the guy because it was so rammed. There was nowhere else for me to stand.
So, man, security people at venues are, that's a subject in itself, isn't
Ended
it?
Ended up being ejected.
Go on for hours about that. Listen, we'll come back to Text the Nation in a moment. Stay tuned though, because coming up any second, we're going to launch this week's Song Wars, which is special.
It's
got all sorts of layers and levels, and we're going to have people on the phone.
Oh my lord.
And it's exciting stuff. But right now,
here's a track from one of my favourite albums of the year. So it's that time, folks, when people start doing their roundups of best albums of the year. And we've been spoiled for choice. There's been some great albums this year. But one of my very much favourites, if that's a sentence.
It's not, no.
Is from the Texan band Spoon, who I'm a massive fan of. This is from their album Gar 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 Gar, and it's called Black Like Me. Hope you enjoy it. Oh, I love that. Can't get enough of that album. That Spoon with Black Like Me from the album Gar 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 Gar.
Mum?
Yes?
Can I have a jingle?
Yeah, would you like a jingle? Let me reach into my jingle bag. I'll see what I've got for you.
It's time for Song Wars. The war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. So check it out.
Yes, it's Song Wars time. This is the part of the show when we pick a theme. And then each week, Adam and I write a song on that theme, and then we battle our song through the medium of listener votes.
And this time, we asked people, or rather last time, we asked people to send us facts about friends of theirs that they would like us to write a song about.
Yeah.
And we got some really good little sketches.
We did. It was terribly hard to choose.
It really was, and I felt bad about it. And they were really heartfelt as well. Lots of really nice little tributes to friends. And
so, apologies to anybody who we didn't pick. Obviously, we could only pick one each.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for everybody who sent in stuff, info.
And I felt a little guilty. Shall I go first, or do you want to go
Why
first?
Why not?
Okay. I felt a little guilty in a way that I focused on one of the more unsavoury character sketches that we received. It was from a chap called Mark. And he wanted me to write a song about his friend from university called James Rowan, or Rohan. And I think we have Mark on the line now. Hello, Mark.
Hello, good morning.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right.
A little bit the worse for wear, I hear.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
hangover.
It is early.
It's the binge drinking culture. I don't know if you've been watching the news, Mark, but you're in trouble.
No, Mark's too old for that. It's only the under fives.
The under fives who've got to worry.
Shane, it was a bit of a release, actually. I met up with a friend to discuss some good stories about Harry, but
now this is your mate, James Rowan. Or is his name pronounced Rowan or Rohan?
I don't know. Everyone calls him
Harry.
I don't
know.
Really
know. He doesn't know his friend's surname.
He's nicknamed.
How close can you get?
He's nicknamed Harry. Now, Mark, you
or just hair.
Sometimes just hair. And why is he called Harry?
On the surface, he doesn't look that hairy, but he has very, very hairy armpits.
Do you say when you're in his company? Do you say, "Hear hair here"? Have you not seen the Have you seen the film with Nell and I?
Occasionally, yeah, I like with Nell.
Anyway, move on.
That's a little moment from that's one of the best moments from the film. Hair here. Anyway, so Harry, he's got the long armpit hair going on. From the description you sent to me, much of which I can't quote on the radio. Because it's so filthy, he sounds like a kind of a beast person.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate?
Definitely. Originally, actually, when I first knew him, it was just his armpits that were really hairy. But
and now he's hairy all over.
Yeah, he's actually got
that happens
hairy
with
all
that
over.
Tends to happen
these days
with the onset of puberty.
That's right. The hair.
I mean, originally a lot of people I knew were hairless,
mm-hmm.
apart from their head.
And then you get to middle age. And suddenly the hair just goes mental all over the area. Mm. Now, how old is Harry now, Mark?
25, I guess.
25. And has he cleaned up his ways? Because the description you sent to me was of a man who drinks excessively, treats women pretty badly, as far as I can tell, and is almost gets in fights at karaoke evenings and stuff like this. Is he still like that?
I think he's calmed down a little bit now, but he's, you know, it's still there. The traces are still there, you know, you'll see it.
Has he got a job?
If he drinks too much. Yeah, he's got a job.
What does he do?
He's a graphic designer.
He's a graphic designer.
Let's see, can we hear the song? Then this will mean more to us.
Okay, and one other fact, of course, is that the possible reason for Harry becoming Harry was that when he was younger, he was a swimming champ, and he had to have what's known as a shave down.
You shave it off and it makes it grow faster,
that's
stronger.
Right. So that's, I've tried to incorporate all that into this song, and I've gone for a reggae vibe for your song, Mark.
Brilliant, which, I can't wait. Which, I'm glad I hope you got shaved down in there.
I didn't get the phrase shaved down, but there is a reference to the whole shaving process. Here we go, hope you enjoy it, about Harry.
There's a man whose name is James Rohan. He's a beast. On the surface he is not hirsute, but his armpit hair is scary. And for that reason he is known as Harry. He is preoccupied with lady parts and solo fun. Before the internet he lived upon the top shelf. He bought a Lindsay Dawn McKenzie DVD
one time,
but returned it cause it wasn't really dirty.
He likes football and drinking. He's not a fan of thinking. He nearly gets in fights with blokes at karaoke nights. He sounds like quite a nightmare, but perhaps that isn't quite fair. Maybe there's a softer side to Harry that he's trying to hide.
For example, Jimmy Rohan used to be a swimming champ, which is when they had to shave all his hair off. When it grew back, it was longer and coarser, which may have left him with some feelings of resentment. On the plus side, Jimmy Rohan really likes Star Trek, which indicates that he is not beyond redemption. James Rohan, Neanderthal man, learned from the lessons of the Trek. And apparently his mum is really fit.
So there you go, Mark. Is that an accurate representation of James?
It's spot on. Absolutely spot on. I think that's, yeah. I'm not going to listen to anything else.
All right.
Ever.
For a while.
Now, we're going to check out Joe's one right now.
Yeah. Now, if you want to vote for that one you've just heard, 64046, text Adam to 64046. Alternatively, here's my one. I responded to an email sent by Joel Hughes, who's on the line. Hello, Joel.
Morning.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
How old are you?
I'm 27.
27? What do you do for a living?
I'm a web developer.
Ooh, and where do you live?
I live in Bristol.
Yeah, there you go. So you sent me a great email all about your friend, whose name is Jack Meller.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, this is an old friend, is it?
Oh, yeah, 10 years.
10 years, that's good, man. So you guys go way back, and here are the salient facts you sent me. In fact, most of them are included in the song, so I'm not going to kind of double up on them. I grew up on a farm, but he was middle class. Yeah, most of them are in the song, I think. There was one fact you put in here that is a little bit dark that I kind of skirted around. So let's not talk a chat about that.
No.
Okay, are you ready then, Joel?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You've got your lug holes pinned back.
I certainly have.
Well done. Here it is. This song is simply called a Song for Jack Meller.
Had a friend who listens to Adam and Joe. Song Wars 1 week had a thing where you send an email with facts about your closest friend. A friend you've been friends with for oh so long that you want Adam and Joe to write a song. So Jack's friend Joel sent in some facts and now I've written a song about Joel's friend Jack.
That Jack Meller, he's an interesting fella. Do you mind if I tell you some more about Jack Meller?
Jack was raised on a farm, but Jack was quite posh, so Jack had a childhood son's hogwash. He wore knee-length boots everywhere he'd go, cause he thought he looked like Antonio Banderas in Desperado. But did he? He did not, oh no. If you saw Jack, I'm sure that you'd say that his looks were closer to Darren Day. Jack thought he was hard, but hard Jack was not. He got a tattoo, but the tattoo that he got was a man with a wheelbarrow full of carrots on his bum just for fun. It hurt quite a lot. Jack once did the somersault over a chair with a mouthful of peanuts just for a dare. You can imagine the shock when his pipes got blocked, but he's far to be mocked because his dad was a doctor. Jack had a moped that he rode around town, but one item of clothing would let the side down, because in order to keep his legs dry in the rain, he put on his mum's apron and just looked insane.
Jack Meller, he's a hell of a fella.
Joel, that's the song that I wrote about Jack. I hope that you think it's okay and all that. None of the facts that you sent had to go, because it's unsuitable for broadcast radio.
There we go, that's song for Jack Meller. What do you think of that, Joel?
That's incredible.
Incredible? Oh, that's high praise indeed. Did I cover most of his tropes?
you took a picture of his life and made a song out of it.
Wow.
Wow.
So there you go. It's a tough one this week. If you want to vote for that one, 64046, vote Joe to 64046. We'll be announcing the winner towards the end of the show. And in a way, it's kind of Mark versus Joel. Are you both there? Are they both there?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, speak at the same time. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
there
nearly.
You go.
I'm going to win.
Thank you very much.
Oh, look
indeed.
At that. Fighting spirit there. Who was that?
That's me, Joel.
That was Joel.
Oh, well, get those votes coming in.
The loser.
Fight back, Mark.
He's too hungover. He can't. He's hopeless. He's weakened
by booze.
I don't need to say anything, although obviously I do know. So.
Friend.
Text 64046.
Obviously better. I know it'll win.
Hey, come on. There's no such thing as a foregone conclusion in this competition. The strangest things happen. So get those votes in. 64046. Adam or Joe. What now?
It's time now for the news.
That's a brand new band you may not have heard of. What do they call, Adam?
They're a dark wave band. They're called Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode. They're actually tied in with Ugly Betty. Are they?
Why?
Because doesn't she work? I'm just trying to be up to date. She works for a magazine called Mode, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah, right.
It's tenuous.
Alamodus.
I'm just trying to stay hip.
Yeah, do you still watch Ugly Betty?
No, it's not a case of still. I've sort of inspected it from a distance. You know, and listeners, I don't know whether you agree with me. I've got this obsession that all comedy has the same music on it these days,
mm-hmm.
especially American comedy, and it's the same Danny Elfman piece of music from 1990.
Right.
And it goes, boom, boom, boom. Like that. All comedy has that same bit of music on it.
Yeah.
Ugly Betty, it's wall-to-wall, that music.
Uh-huh.
I've done it enough.
Yeah, so things like Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, all of them. Even the films, even the comedy films.
Yeah.
Like a sort of Nutty Waltz. The Nutty Waltz, sophisticated but kooky.
I'd like to see a film called Nutty Waltz.
Nutty Waltz.
Yeah.
It's a sort of Robert Altman thing.
That wasn't my favourite Depeche Mode song, I have to be honest.
Really? I quite like that one.
I liked it when they were with Vince Clarke. You know, was that post-Vince Clarke? I think that was, wasn't it?
I like that time in the 80s when music was about business.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Heaven 17 and stuff, and there was nothing more sexy and glamorous than being in a pinstripe suit near a very tall building handing over a wad of papers.
They were being ironical, though, Heaven 17.
I didn't understand that when I was small. I thought, wow, working in the city's cool. It's true. I thought all those images on the front of Penthouse and Pavement. Yeah. Imagine talking on the telephone.
That's right, because Blur, many years later, around the time of The Great Escape, did a photo shoot where they were all... Well, in fact, the back cover of The Great Escape? It's got them all crowded round a PC and they're all in business mode.
It's exciting.
And they do look cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, this is Adam and Joe. This is BBC Six Music. We're just coming up to kind of the last third of the second hour. I like to segment the show and keep everybody up to date with which precise area of the pie chart we're
in. Towards the end of the second act. That's traditionally the most exciting part, isn't it?
Yeah, the climax of the second act, you're painted into a corner. There's no way out. You think the situation's irresolvable. But then Han Solo turns up behind
you. It's generally a bit of a letdown.
Yeah. Don't forget to vote for your favourite in Song Wars. They're 64046. The votes are being totted up.
It's a choice between my reggae song about Harry, which was suggested by his friend Mark. James Rohan was the name of the song. James Rohan, Neanderthal Man. And Joe's song was?
It was called Song for Jack Mellor. It was a sort of a rapidy number. We're going to be reminding you of those songs with some little clips, maybe at the top of the hour kind of an area.
Tiny little clips. Ooh.
What?
I was just thinking about little clips.
Let's have some more music.
Oh,
why
yeah,
not?
Yeah. This is a smash. Is this doing well, this single? This is
hey, and then
single.
You know what? I think we all want to hear about your Radiohead adventures.
Yes, I'll talk to you about Radiohead in a bit. Do a little bit of cautious name dropping. Foo Fighters, this is their new single, Long Road to Ruin. You can't really beat this. Come on.
That was the Foolish Fighters. With their new song. What's that called, Adam?
Long Road to Ruin. Now, from a lesser band, that would seem sort of formulaic and workmanlike. Do you know what I mean? But for some reason, the power of Dave Grohl just turns that very straight-ahead rock song into a pure slice of genius.
He knows exactly how many times to repeat the good bits in a song, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's a real talent.
That's released on the 3rd of December. It's from their sixth album, Echo, Silence, Patience and Grace. And they finish their UK tour tomorrow at the O2 Arena.
Ooh.
O2.
That's a shame, isn't it?
It is a shame. Oh.
Have you been to the O2 Arena? Formerly, of course, the Millennium Doom.
The Doom. Yeah, I have. Wow. I went to see the premiere of the Simpsons film there.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's a long way to go.
It's like a big old public swimming pool.
Right. Was that an enjoyable premiere?
Not really.
Famous people?
Me.
Mm. I love
so that's
you.
A note.
You're brilliant. Listen, man, I had a sort of celebrity-packed weekend last weekend. Of course, we pre-recorded our show because on Friday night and Saturday morning, I was in Oxfordshire in the English countryside with the popular beat combo Radiohead. I was helping them with their webcast that they did live last Friday night from 9 till midnight. And, man, it was a good time. Me and my friend Garth went there, and we were basically helping them put together little pre-recorded video segments that they could play into the live portion of the show. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to their studio where they record all their stuff. They built this studio just after they finished OK Computer back in the early noughties. And they sort of co-own this place, and it's really amazing, you know, sort of residential.
Did they built it from scratch kind of thing?
No, I think they converted a barn.
I'd have liked to have seen that guy from Grand Designs car that building project.
Mm.
You know, I'd like to see Kevin MacLeod and Tom York.
Yes.
Tom's plans for this barn are hugely ambitious, but does he realise the scale of the task he's taken on? Is he gonna stick his head? I don't know, you know, he'd do some terrible metaphor. I wasn't actually gonna do one.
No.
You know, that wouldn't be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
Keep talking.
It looks like that kind of place, though, do you know
right.
what I mean? It's
yes.
really beautiful and futuristic inside, kind of, but yet a little bit rustic. It's exactly the sort of thing you would hope it would be like.
You want to be careful with rust in a studio.
A bit of rustic. Rusticity.
Yeah. Anyway, keep going.
But it was good. Basically, I won't go on too much about what I actually did there, because it was fairly boring. I was just basically working pretty hard.
Tell us secret things, like... What were there any little details? What's in Radiohead's fridge?
It's a well-stocked fridge. They've got, like, a lady called Kat who works there, and she basically makes all their meals for them.
Really?
It's brilliant. So they're working away.
I love ladies called Kat.
Yeah, yeah. She was dead nice, and she, I think, used to be a chef for John Bon Jovi or someone like that.
She was a dancer for Prince.
She was really cool, and... You know, you'd be working away and suddenly she'd say, lunchtime, and everyone comes and sits down at a big table.
Wow.
And you get lunch, like a delicious piping hot.
Like a sort of pop mum.
Yeah. And she does a little bit of organic food here, a bit of veggie food there, because everyone has different dietary needs. Oh, man, it was brilliant. And you eat the best food you've had for weeks and weeks, and then you get back to work.
And they're pretty self-disciplined, I'd imagine.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
Take it seriously?
Take it very seriously, but it's a good atmosphere, you know what I mean? Like, everyone, after years of being a band like that, being a successful band, everyone seems to know exactly what their function is.
Really? So there's no room for disagreement? And, I mean, they weren't... What kind of thing were they doing? So they were just putting this podcast together?
Yeah.
So they were playing some tracks live?
They pre-recorded a few tracks that they were playing live in their little studio. Then they played some tracks live as the actual podcast went out. Then they did a few things. Me and Garth had some ideas for little videos.
Now, Garth is Garth Jennings,
yeah.
who directed Hitchhiker's Guide and The Forthcoming Son of Rambo.
That's
also,
right.
there was Nigel Godrich, right, who's their producer.
Yeah, Nigel. I mean, he's the guy that's basically got all the answers, technically.
Yeah.
He's amazing. And he was sort of masterminding the technical side of the
whole. I saw a little bit of him DJing kind of what sounded like sort of 80s electro R&B records.
Of Tom York.
Yeah. Was it Tom or was it Nigel?
It was Tom.
Was it Tom?
Was DJing, yeah. Tom's got a... he's a good DJ.
Yeah.
And it's a good idea to have a band DJing, you know, because it's a real insight into...
That's true,
to have
the singer of... Or to have one of the members of the band on the turntables.
Every member of the band had a go on the turntables.
It's true, because it sometimes goes the other way, doesn't it? A DJ will become a musician.
Mm.
But, yeah, you don't get many musicians actually DJ.
And it's a good insight into their personality, you know what I mean? You really get the choices they make say a lot about who they are, you know. And Tom's choices are very eclectic and very challenging.
Because he's eclectic.
Exactly.
And challenging.
Exactly, yes. Joe.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was good. If you want to know more about it, you can go onto my website, adam-buxton.co.uk, where you'll find a fairly full account of my time there. Also, you'll see the video that me and Garth put together for the track that they're just about to release, the first single from the album In Rainbows, which is called Jigsaw Falling Into Place. We did this little video using these helmet cams that I made, basically like a little security camera stuck on the end of a pole attached to a bicycle helmet, and we stuck them onto the band, and they performed their track, Jigsaw Falling Into Place, and we did it just for the webcast, but it's now being used as the official video.
No.
Yeah, for, wow. for the track. I believe, and it's also on the Six Music website. There's a link to the Adam and Joe page there. You can see it. And so, yeah, check it out if you want to. It's
check it out.
Adam-buxton.co.uk. That's my blog. And here is the song right now for you to enjoy. This is Radiohead with Jigsaw Falling Into Place. Radiohead with Jigsaw Falling Into Place. We were just talking about the fact that I had the pleasure of working on the video for that track, which is, you know, it was just going to be for the webcast. Now it's the official video.
Wow.
I've made a Radiohead video, me and Garth. And making that was fun. Editing it together was amazing. Watching Phil Selway, the drummer, he puts an amazing amount of... I mean, they give a really good performance of that song. All of them are amazing, but particularly Phil Selway drumming away there. It's amazing. Check it out. I've got to stop saying amazing. But he's a powerhouse. He's a baldy powerhouse, I'm telling you.
A what?
Baldy powerhouse, man.
Okay.
Yeah, Tom does his wobbly head dance on there, and...
It's all going off.
It's all going off.
Now, I happen to know, because you told me the other day, that another hero of yours... Mm. Walked in to the area while you were up there.
Yeah, that's right. The lead singer of Candyflip
wow.
was visiting. No, it was David Byrne, lead singer of Talking Heads.
I've heard of them.
And, of course, you know, of course we mentioned before, of course, they gave Radiohead their name, Talking Heads. There's a track called Radiohead from their album True Stories. Not the best Talking Heads track.
Oh, I like that album. And he's quite a stately figure now, David Byrne, isn't he? He's a sort of sophisticated New York intellectual type fella. He's got white hair.
Exactly.
Has he still got dark eyebrows? Because that sometimes happens with an older gentleman. The hair on the top of the head goes white, but the eyebrows stay in an authoritative dark.
You know, I didn't notice. I got the impression that it was all white.
Was he wearing a some sort of a suit?
He was very smartly dressed. I think he took off his suit jacket. He was casual.
I want to be like that in the future.
But he looked trim and dapper, and I was very attracted to him.
That must have been pretty exciting for you, because you're a big Talking Heads fan.
Massive Talking Heads
fan.
Yeah,
but did you feel all funny?
I did, I really did. I was trying to be cool as well, you know?
It's tricky, isn't it, in a situation like that?
Because the thing is, I knew I had no purchase on the situation. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you had no sway, no currency, no leverage.
None. Because it was all about the band. You know, David wasn't there to see me, obviously. He was there to see Radiohead.
She should have been there to see you.
And he didn't want to know me and my business. The best I got was a limp handshake. I was a little disappointed that he didn't introduce himself when I stretched out my hand and said, "Hi, nice to meet you, David, I'm Adam." Or I didn't say David, I said, "Hi, I'm Adam." He just said, "Hi." He didn't say, "Hello, I'm David." Do you know what I mean? I mean, obviously... Everybody knew that he was David.
Mm.
But do you know what I'm saying?
Like, I do know what... I go very weird in situations like that.
Yeah.
I always get an urge, if I'm in a famous person's home or place of work, I always get an urge to nick something.
I know what you're saying, yeah.
Because I feel like I've stepped through a mirror. For instance, I was in Quentin Tarantino's house,
ooh,
for one reason or another during the summer, and I was alone in his kitchen,
mm-hmm,
and I had my digital camera. And I got obsessed with his fridge.
Yeah.
Because it had brilliant, weird fridge magnets all over it. So I got my camera. Oh, I'll take a picture of his fridge. It's not stealing, but in a way it's stealing.
It is stealing.
Yeah, stealing the soul of the fridge.
Listen, in a way it's worse than stealing.
Is it?
It's a betrayal of his trust.
So I started just taking photos like some kind of a burglar.
Demented paparazzo.
Yeah. And then my friend Edgar, who I was working with,
yeah,
caught me. He walked in and caught me. He went, "Don't take pictures of the fridge." I went, "Sorry." And I deleted. I went outside.
No, you didn't.
And I deleted
them.
All the pictures, because I thought, come on, Cornish, you're not an intruder in Quentin's house. You're a guest.
You are.
Relax.
You are an intruder.
You'll be back. And you know what? I was. Adam and Joe, BBC Six
and
Music.
And now you've got loads of pictures of his fridge.
Yeah, I've actually got some friends of mine are in his house and he doesn't know it.
You made damn sure you weren't busted by
I'm sending my gypsy friends over there, my circus pals.
Yeah, now this is a music choice that is yours, I believe, Joe.
Yeah, is it?
Oh, God. This is from another of our mutual heroes, but not someone that I particularly relish meeting, I have to say.
Right. This is a grumpy master of soul crooning. And you know what? We promise we're going to do no more name dropping. That's it. That's our name dropping allocation.
That was an exhaustive bit
that
of name dropping.
Yeah, that was bad. Yeah. So no more of that. But here to clear the air, here is Van Morrison with Everyone.
That's Athlete with Tokyo. Are Athlete playing in the Lavi somewhere or the Hub or on Monday they're playing? What sort of time?
11:30.
Could be around 11:30.
We should get bands to just play in the Lav.
I think it would be nice.
Wouldn't that be better? We should have some bands
there's
in.
There's a big disabled
You wouldn't mic them up or anything. You'd just know they were there.
Yeah, the big disabled Lav by the studio that is often
That's a bit spacious, isn't
it? They could play in there.
I mean, stick them in the ladies, I say.
Yeah, exactly. That would be fun. Anyway, that's Athlete to look forward to. Now, let's return, ladies and gentlemen, to one of our two beautiful, well-rounded features, Song Wars.
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs, so check it out.
So the idea here, listeners, is we've both composed a song based on information sent to us by listeners about one of those listeners' closest friends. The two men involved. What, my one's called Jack Mellor. Who's your called Mark?
James Rohan James, was the subject of the song, suggested by his friend Mark.
Yeah, mine is about a guy called Jack Mellor, sent to me by Joel. And we're going to play you the two clips just to remind you of the songs if you've just tuned in. And text 64046 or email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk because we're going to do something a bit new. And we're not going to announce the winner this week. Mm. We're going to announce the winner at the beginning of next week's show. That way, the people who listen to this show via the Listen Again function can participate in the vote.
That way, all Joe's fans who actually know how to use texting will be able to vote for him.
You're saying that you think your fans...
I think my fans are probably older and have very high-powered jobs, which means that they're too busy to text in.
To text, yeah.
Which is why I've lost 3 times in a row.
Yeah, but this would then give you the advantage, because now they've got more time in their busy schedules to text in, because you've got all the way until close of business on Friday.
Didn't do me any favours last week.
For this one.
But still, that's the theory. Now, let's have a clip. Shall we play Joe's clip first? This is about James Mellor. James Mellor?
Yeah, Jack Mellor. This is called Song for Jack Mellor.
Do you mind if I tell you some more about Jack Mellor?
Jack was raised on a farm, but Jack was quite posh, so Jack had a childhood song's hogwash. He wore knee-length boots everywhere he'd go, because he thought he looked like Antonio.
Banderas in Desperado, but did he? He did not. Oh no, you can't. That was a badly chosen clip.
He sounds like hogwash. What did it say?
Sons hogwash. It's French. My fans like.
Oh, sons hogwash.
It's the only thing I could think of that would rhyme.
Very nice. And now here is a little clip from my song about James Rohan, aka Harry.
There's a man whose name is James Rohan. He's a beast. On the surface he is not hirsute, but his armpit hair is scary. And for that reason he is known as Harry.
You know, it's tough coming up with these songs week in, week out, because you end up falling back. I mean, you're a little luckier, I have to say, Joe, because you can actually sing a little bit. Whereas...
But that's not necessarily an advantage.
Yeah, well, you've gone for rapping a couple of times now, haven't you?
I have. Singing is slightly embarrassing.
It is embarrassing, that's why I always fall back.
It's automatically sincere. That's why indie bands are frightened of it.
That's true.
That's why they pick up megaphones and put effects on their voices.
I fall back
on the shaggy voice whenever I'm in trouble.
But I really tried one time last week, in fact.
One time.
To sing in a sincere way, but it was too toe-curling, even as a joke. I mean, the part of the joke was supposed to be that it was...
We should do a sincere week, then.
Yeah, we really should.
A joke-free week.
Why don't we do that next week?
Well, we have to think of a subject, so let's... we heard your clip, didn't we?
You said Lilettes.
Did I?
Yes!
I'm actually being sponsored by a major panty pad company.
Shush!
Panty pads. Listen, so text your vote, either Adam or Joe, to 64046, or email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Today, tomorrow, any time up to close of business on Friday, and we'll announce the winner at the beginning of the show next week.
Now, who chose this track by the Stranglers? Neither of us. This was just chosen out of thin air by someone.
Are you sure? What is it?
Well,
Always the Sun. You know, it's not a bad track, but it's very late period Stranglers, and it's quite a cheesy one.
I wanted to hear European Female by
and,
the...
And it's got the line. It's got the line in it, who gets the job of pushing the knob? That's the kind of job that I'd pay money to avoid, or something like that. But anyway, it's kind of a nice song.
I look forward to hearing that lyric.
Yeah, who gets the job of pushing the knob? You decide. Here's the Stranglers.
It's my favourite newspaper. I like the lady on page three. What has no top on?
Well, you're talking about the Sun.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. This is the best bit of the track that we're is talking it? Over here now. It's not the best Stranglers track.
We've decided to mount an intervention.
We're having a little intervention.
We do apologise to any big fans of this song.
You know, but at least it was a little reminder of it there. That sort of responsibility you draw straws for if you're mad enough. He just really squeezed those lyrics in there. He wasn't bothered.
Drawing straws isn't a particularly mad activity. No. Requires a certain amount of preparation.
Well, it is mad
control.
If you're drawing straws for the job of pushing the knob.
What does pushing the knob do?
The nuclear knob.
Oh, the this. When was this? When was that song recorded?
It was not at the height of the Cold
nuclear
War.
Nuclear paranoia.
But it was still, you know, it was, you know, it's always an ongoing issue, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
The destruction.
That's true.
Of the planet.
Nuclear proliferation.
Proliferation.
Exactly. Hey, we're in the middle of Text the Nation, of course.
Yes, yes, yes.
So we should catch up with some of those. We've been asking you what superpower you would have if you could have any superpower.
Nice little daytime voice there.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I hit a higher note just to lift the mood. It's like we've moved on from a section about child abuse to something about Corey.
Now, what kind of superpower would you have?
I do think you and I could take over from Phil and Fern.
You reckon?
Someone's good, because they're getting big now.
Mm.
I think we'd be quite good.
Yeah, well, Fern, of course, is getting small. She's losing a great
deal. She's losing, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, they're appearing in Nintendo DS adverts now.
Really?
Yeah. That Nicole Kidman, she loves the Nintendo DS.
Wow.
That's why that film The Invasion was such a mess.
She needs
She couldn't
help
stop playing WarioWare.
Right.
Cookie Cookie Mama.
She is in, I don't want to go too far off message because we're going to hear about superpowers in a second, but she is in The Golden Compass, isn't she?
She is.
Is that a CG film, Golden Compass? I mean, it's got
it's
CG
a mixture
in it.
Of CGI and live action. Yeah, that's a very old world distinction you're making there, Adam. You clearly haven't seen Beowulf.
Well, I was thinking about Beowulf.
I will kill your monster!
I'm here to kill you, a monster!
I saw it, man.
Yeah, and you liked it.
Oh, it's brilliant. You've got to see it in 3D at the IMAX.
Right.
If you see it in 2D, you're a nutball.
You're missing out on
3D at the IMAX, and you've got to remove yourself from your nipples a bit.
A little bit.
Before you go.
A little shandy. A tiny little
and
shandy.
And then it's enormously satisfying. Like a giant three-dimensional space cake.
What if you're teetotal, though, and you're not up for any removals?
It's pretty much the most fun you can have whilst being teetotal. It'll make you feel like you're not teetotal. Do you get what I'm saying?
I think I do, yeah.
Yeah, put those specs on and...
Have you seen The Golden Compass?
Yeah, well, no, that's not out yet. Not for a couple of weeks.
Is it not?
No.
Ads are everywhere.
Yeah.
But I thought you, with your special insider
special powers,
you might have had a
I'm sure I could have, Adam, but...
Sneaky peeky. I wonder if it's going to break Kidman's unbroken run of stink power.
Oh, poor old Kidman.
I mean, she's great.
Listen,
honestly.
Let's come back to Kidman. Let's just go and kind of wrap up the Text the Nation.
Yes.
We've been asking you what superpower you would have. Hi, Adam and Joe. This is from Mel. I would have the power to split myself in two, like Plankton.
Mm.
Plankton Girl. One half saves the world, one half sits in... And watches, I'm a gamoo. Oh, that's the acronym for I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Imac gamoo.
That's not a good.
There's a hair remover called Imac, isn't there?
It's not like Hignify for Have I Got News for You.
That's true.
Quite so well.
What do you think of that one?
I like it, Plankton Girl. I like that idea, but it's sort of would the top half go off and do that, or you would split into two separate, fully formed entities?
Who knows? Let's move on.
Okay.
Here's another one from Tim in Plymouth. He says my superpower would be to be. He's written B's and twos. He hasn't even written the full words. My superpower would be to be able to skip the annoying legal warnings that play when you put in a DVD.
Good superpower.
That's a really good one, Tim. They're as annoying as Robert Mugabe's moustache.
Skipatron, you could be called.
Skipatron. They are annoying.
They are torture.
I tell you what I've always wanted to play as a piece of music is the down, 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 down. You wouldn't steal a car. That bit of music.
Yeah.
They should release it as a single.
Man, did you see the It Crowd with the spoof of
that? I did, yeah.
Brilliant.
I just like the logic of the, like, who would choose that bit of music?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a bit of music that criminals will pay attention to. It's edgy and guitar-y and rocky.
Torture. You know who's the worst for those? Is Disney. On their DVDs, they put so many trailers that you cannot skip through.
Yeah.
The best you can do is fast-forward them, but you have to go through every single effing
terrible business. And it's insulting, isn't it? Like, you've given these people your money, you want to watch one of their films, and they subject you to a sort of 10-minute lecture about, even when you go to the cinema, they do it.
Mm.
You know, our staff have infrared goggles, they will be patrolling the aisles. You feel like a criminal just for going and having some entertainment. Sort yourselves out, studios.
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah. I'm with you on that one,
yeah,
man.
I'm a member of WGA East as well.
Whatever.
Mm. here's another one then. Say things quickly.
Oh, yeah. What have you got there?
I've got some more text.
You know, another superpower that I thought of having, this is a real middle-aged
I've got
one
now, by the way.
Actually, all of us agreed in the studio that the ultimate superpower, which they have in Heroes, and of course it's the best character in Heroes, is the power to teleport.
Yeah, teleportation, inarguably, because it would cut out all air travel or tedious travel.
Exactly. The planet would be spared because all the carbon emissions would rocket down. You know, you wouldn't have to rely on cars and airplanes and automobiles and all that malarkey. Automobiles are the same as cars. You know what I'm saying? It's the best one. And also, travel in the modern world, especially in the post-9/11 world, is not enjoyable in any way.
I love it when you say post-9/11.
Yeah, I slipped it in there.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, security checks and, oh, it's grim.
So it is grim. Here's another one. This is from Paul Savage in Wolverhampton. He says, "Dear Adam and Joe, if I had a minor superpower, I would like to know how much of anything there is left."
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good idea. For instance, if I wanted a biscuit, if I knew there was only one Jaffa cake left but plenty of digestives in the tin, I would go and get it so I could suck the delicious orangeness. But, you know, obviously that would be useful for biscuits. He also says it would work with petrol, sex scenes in erotic thrillers.
Mm-hmm.
But it would also be good for finding out how many natural reserves there are of various, you know, elements.
Foxy women. I sometimes think, I wonder how many foxy women there are on the planet.
Really?
Yeah. And also,
that would be good because you could, yeah, that would be good. Sorry, I was about to say something really
filthy. Well, it seems as if the number of foxy women is rising, but I think that's a byproduct of getting older, yeah. Mm. Also, I sometimes wonder, I sometimes wish I had the power to rate people by their attractiveness, a little bit like
I have that power.
Your Face or Mine, I think it was, wasn't it? With Jimmy Carr a while ago. Anyway, and you know, you would be able to sort of attach ratings to it's ludicrous. I wish I hadn't started saying that. Now, listen, should we have some more music before we hear a tiny bit more, before we wrap up that feature? There was a frightening light flashing in the studio just there.
What was it?
It was fine. I was worried it was going to be like
somebody complaining.
Head of the BBC complaining about something. You're fired 4 weeks into the show. You're out. Now, here's a track I chose for you folks. This is from the Beach Boys' amazing box set. There's a big Guardian thing about the 100 best albums you should listen to, the 1,000 albums.
Which made us think, does anyone have a relative who is, I don't mean to bring the atmosphere down, dying.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love it if someone on their deathbed, who was dying, demanded one of those 100 things you should do before you die lists.
Yes. Get me a copy of Fried by Julian Cope. I have only hours left before I expire, and I need to hear it.
Guardian today's got a list of 1,000 albums to hear before you die. It's a ridiculous premise.
Well, here's one that you should certainly prioritise. Don't wait until it's too late. The Beach Boys box set is packed with delights, and this is just one of them. It's a track called Can't Wait Too Long. It's very mellow. That's the Beach Boys with Can't Wait Too Long. Now, that's got to be the precursor to a lot of things like the Beta Band, I would say. Do you know what I mean? That reminds me a little bit of some of the stuff on the Beta Band's 3 EPs album there. It's like they've just been jamming for a while, and they didn't really get a track out of it, but they've chopped the best bits of the sessions together and just, you know, stuck them out there for whoever wants to hear.
Listen, sorry to interrupt. Rich in Oxford wants to figure out whether to call his cat Snickerpuss or Morrissey. Morrissey.
Snickerpuss or Morrissey?
Or Morrissey. As Morrissey. Just quick, let's do this quickly.
Yeah, Morrissey.
Morrissey, yeah.
Definitely.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We're just going to... what are we doing now? It's 1:30. Should we go to the news? Yeah, here's the news, read by a beautiful lady called Catherine Cracknell.
Digital radio.
Digital TV.
BBC Six Music.
Singing goes on it.
New to BBC Two.
What's the difference between this?
Hello there, good evening and welcome to Nevermind the Buzzcocks. I'm Simon Amstel.
And this.
Hello there, good evening, and welcome to Never Mind the Buzzcocks. I'm Simon Amstel.
The first went out on a Wednesday and was obviously not sunny. The second went out on a Thursday, which meant it was very, very sunny.
News, Never Mind the Buzzcocks.
Thursday at 9 on BBC Two.
But the thing he was saying wasn't supposed to be funny. He was just saying his name.
He was... The trail is about the fact that they've got a new time slot. It's on Wednesdays. Thursdays now as opposed to Wednesdays. And
Thursday is inherently so funny that people laugh at things that aren't even jokes.
Yeah, because the slot is called Thursdays Are Funny.
Okay.
You know, Peter Serafinowicz's show was on there. It's finished its run now.
It made me angry, that trailer.
It's a good show, though, man. Never Mind the Buzzcocks. Did you watch it last week?
Nope.
It was really funny. I was laughing away, man. I never used to laugh at shows like that. I don't know what's happening
to me.
You're
tired. You're
tired. Maybe I'm tired, but Amstel's very funny.
He's good.
He's
we
really
love him.
Good.
He hey, listen, really let's wrap up Text the Nation, the superpowers thing. Is that a good thing to do?
Yeah.
Finish it all off with one or two little ones.
Key Wallow, the locator. He can locate your keys and wallet. No, he can't locate your keys and wallet. Only his own. He can locate his own keys and wallets in minutes. Key Wallow, the locator.
I'm filling here.
Yeah, you're doing a good job. I think I've picked up the wrong bits of paper.
Also, I was thinking the cholesterizer. He can lower his own cholesterol at will without the aid of pills.
That's good. There's a guy here called Richard Jeffries? Is that his name? Yeah, he listens in America.
Where's that?
America's next to France.
Oh!
It's where, David Duchovny lives.
Yes.
And...
Do they have Coca-Cola coming out of the
Yes, they do.
Okay.
He wants the power of,
Omniscience.
Omniscience.
He just went through this before.
Yeah,
Joe
omniscience.
Thought it was
can't really pronounce omniscience.
Joe thought it was omniessence, the power to control the smell
bath
of
salts.
Your bath salts.
But, you know, and that's the most obvious thing to go for. The when I was thinking about this, I thought, well, you want the power to cure all disease.
Well, he wants to be God. I mean, you know...
But superheroes can't... I mean, you can't go that big. No. As a superhero, can you?
No, because then there's no limits. There's
yeah,
no
there's,
rules.
It's got to be kind of quirky in order, superpower.
Yeah.
Because it's got to have limitations.
Exactly.
Otherwise, there's no drama.
Life is only enjoyable with limitations.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so you can't be God. And, you know, it's good for you to, it's good for you to be ambitious, Richard.
Mm.
But, you know, just you need to keep things in check a bit.
Exactly. It's nice to be omniscient, but you'll end up competing with Stephen Fry and you'll get nowhere.
Yeah. Luke Maskell has emailed. He says his superpower would be to be able to pull a £20 note out of his pocket on any occasion.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd be casually rich.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's quite good in that yes, he wants to be rich, but the limit is £1 £20 only comes at a time. So if, say, he needs $1 million, you're talking about a commitment of several weeks of note tugging.
Yeah.
Very sore back of the hand. You'd have to get very loose cotton trousers.
It's like having a £20 limit on your ATM machine.
Yes.
You know, a daily limit there.
That's very true.
Which would be annoying.
Kat, who runs a website called Cut Out and Keep, says my superpower would be having a built-in version of Bernard's watch. I agree with that. The ability to stop time.
What's Bernard's watch?
Bernard's watch was a kid's cartoon, was it? Maybe it was live action. I think it was a cartoon. Mm. He was a kid who... No, it was live action. It was a CBBC or CITV, I don't know, series about a little boy with a watch. He could stop time.
Mm. Well,
there's also a Twilight Zone episode.
Brilliant Twilight Zone episode, yeah.
But that would be fantastic, wouldn't it? I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah, I was thinking my adjustment to that would be I would be able to go 5 minutes back in time.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the only thing that I'd be able to do, you know what I mean? It would have to be only 5 minutes. And then you could get out of all kind of little social embarrassments and things like that.
Yeah, you'd use that a lot.
The 5 minute man. Wasn't there a thing, there was a TV show, wasn't there, called the Minute Man or something about a guy who could do that? He could go
back.
I think
there have been lots of variants of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there's a guy called Peter Green in Seward's End in Saffron Walden. I've probably said that wrong as well, but he's a dangerous man. Listeners, because it says if I had a superpower, it would be to be able to make people's brains explode just by looking at them.
Mm.
And I would do it to everyone. And there would be no one left. And then I would just eat biscuits.
Has he really put that?
Yeah.
That's nice, man. That's nice bit of thinking there.
You're either lovely or very, very dangerous.
Well, there was another guy who emailed in whose superpower would have been to make people poo their pants.
There was another guy called Big John emailed in, and he said, I've lost the piece of paper, but from memory it said, Dear Adam and Joe, I would like to, for want of a better euphemism, have the power to be able to make love to everybody I see, mm-hmm. or kill them.
Right.
Yours, Big John.
That's George Clooney's power.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
He kills them with boring political films.
The Cloonster. Speaking of which, well, we'll talk about it later. But shall we have some music right now?
Hey, that's the end of Text the Nation Note. Thank you very much for everybody who emailed or texted. Those results will be going to Gordon Brown, who will base a new policy initiative on them.
I thought you were going to say more there.
There's no more to say.
It's suddenly ran rubbish. Out. Now, you chose this one, didn't you, Joe? This is a track by The Cure.
Yeah, this is a track by The Cure. This is from 1983.
And we used to groove around to this one.
Yeah,
great. When we met Frank Blacklow, a little bit of name-dropping for you, a little bit more name-dropping, he said that this was one of his favourite Cure tracks.
Mm.
And I remember you saying to him, Joe, but no, you can't like the Love Cats. That's bad period Cure. But Frank said, no, I like it. It's a good one.
There you go. What higher recommendation?
You've come round to it now, then.
Oh yeah, I love this track. You probably haven't heard it out there. It's a band called The Cure. It's one of their lesser known tracks called Love Cats.
Enjoy.
Joe's pick of the BBC archive.
Wow, that sounded fantastic, didn't it?
Yeah, it's good, man.
Really?
In the middle of the song, does he say, oh, it's brilliant?
I didn't hear that. He'd have every right to.
Yeah.
That was The Cure with Love Cats, recorded, when was that recorded, Jude? Here we go, 1983, the 26th of August, 1983.
You know, the hardcore Cure fans, they think that that's a blot on the Cure.
That's de rigueur, though, for hardcore fans. That's the definition of a hardcore fan,
right?
You fixate on something obscure.
They hate it when it goes commercial.
Ignore the mainstream,
when it crosses over.
I like that. It's just like a bit of skiffily fun.
Yeah.
That could be by Bardo, and I'd still like it. Maybe it was written by Bardo.
I like skiffily fun.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Now, we've got to, play you the Song Wars songs again, really, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
You have all week to vote for your favourite. Just to quickly explain to people who've tuned in, we've written a song each about the friend of listeners. Listeners email facts about the friends. We're not going to do a lot of waffle. Can we stand to hear them again? Something in my bones is telling me that this might be once too many.
Especially if they're going to be on the website, I'm thinking. Do you know what I mean?
They are going to be on the website. Let's just play a little bit of each one. Let's start with, don't play the clips, but play the full versions.
Okay.
We'll see how much we can take.
Yeah.
This is Adam's one. What's your call? What's your one called?
This one is called James Rohan, Neanderthal Man.
There's a man whose name is James Rohan. He's a beast. On the surface he is not hirsute, but his armpit hair is scary. And for that reason he is known as Hairy. He is preoccupied with lady parts and solo fun. Before the internet he lived upon the top shelf. He bought a Lindsay Dawn McKenzie DVD
one time,
but returned it cause it wasn't really dirty.
Okay, let's come out of it.
So there we go. If you want to vote for that song to win Song Wars, text Adam to 64046. You can even just text Ad. It's three less presses of the thumb. It'll actually lengthen your life by three more thumb presses.
You could even just text A, you know.
Really?
If you wanted to.
I don't know. That might be a bit abstract. They might think it's a...
whatever you want.
Mistake. Or the other song is about Jack Mellor, whose friend Joel sent in details. And this is it's called Song for Jack Mellor.
Had a friend who listens to Adam and Joe. Song Wars one week had a thing where you send an email with facts about your closest friend. A friend you've been friends with for oh so long that you want Adam and Joe to write a song. So Jack's friend Joel sent in some facts and now I've written a song about Joel's friend Jack.
That was more about the process of construction.
Yeah, I was, you know what I was thinking?
What?
I was just thinking that these songs will mean nothing to anybody listening.
Okay. So you were trying to
so I would contextualize it.
I like it, yeah.
Did I waste my time?
So if you like that one, the song for Jack Mellor, then email. If you're voting during the week, you need to email rather
than
text.
Because text comes straight to the studio, so you'll just be texting Namone or something, and she'll be all confused and angry.
Yeah, and the email address is adamandjoe, all one word, .6music@bbc.co.uk.
And we're just going to, in a few minutes, we're going to find out who's winning so far.
Oh my lord.
In an attempt to kind of anger the fans of the losing song.
Fanger.
The fanger, exactly. The worst type of anger.
Yeah.
And, you know, just poke the whole fire. Stir things up a bit.
Bit of fire poking. Now, before we wrap things up, here's a little track that Joe chose for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, can you vote more than once? Can we stop people from voting more than
once? Yeah, wait a second. It's easy for people to vote more than once, isn't it? Now it's all becoming clear.
Wait, hang on. No, the reason I say that is because we've just had three Adam votes in at once, and they all appear to be from the same number.
Well, good, because, you know, it's getting, the message is getting
and
through.
And it's your mum's number.
My wife's mum!
Now, Joe, here's your track. This is the Ohio Players.
Yeah, gosh. I've only just had a session track. Yeah, this is, what's this one then that I chose? Oh, this is great. This is by the Ohio Players. If you ever look at their album covers, every album they ever did has a sexy lady being, like, dribbled in honey or hosed down with a hose.
They're filthy, aren't they?
That's what drew me to them.
Yeah.
And then, luckily, the music is every bit as good. this is called You and Me. That's the Ohio Players there. This is Adam and Joe on BBC 6 Music. We're having a minor crisis because we haven't thought of the theme for next week's Song Wars, and we've only got 5 minutes left in the show.
Well, we decided there's going to be whistling.
We decided there's going to be whistling. We thought we're going to challenge each other to do some really sincere songs.
Yeah.
Oh,
we still need a subject. So if you guys would like to email us in with some suggestions for what our song next week
the subject
be about.
Can just be a surprise. We'll announce it. We'll decide it after the show and we'll just announce it.
Uh-huh.
And so maybe it'll pop up on the website.
Are we asking people to send in their suggestions?
Yeah, you can send in suggestions. adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Stay tuned because Liz Kershaw's coming up in a second.
Also, text the nation. We'd like your suggestions for... Actually, no, we don't need suggestions. We've got an idea for text the nation.
Very complicated.
It is, you say?
What is it? Oh, yeah, right. Text the nation next week, listeners, is ideas, things that you've seen in the world that you swear you had first.
Yeah.
There's a film directed by Michel Gondry called Be Kind, Rewind, starring Jack Black and Mos Def about... two men who run a video store.
And you're convinced they nicked it off
you? I'm convinced. Well, I did. I had that idea.
Right.
I'm not saying that they stole it off me,
yeah.
But I did have that idea.
I mean, an idea...
I did nothing about it.
An idea's no good unless you do
I know,
about
but still,
it.
It's something that happens in life a lot.
Yeah.
Does it not, cool. Listeners? Cool. You know, you see something like a book about a killer mug. I thought about a book about a killer mug.
Killer mug.
If only I'd written it.
Yeah.
So what idea that's been out in the world do you swear you've had before? Or maybe you've got a friend who bores you by swearing that they've had ideas before. Mm. And how angry did it make you? You know, all that kind of business.
Well, the best thing would be to hear from someone who actually had done something about their idea.
All right.
And even then, they got trumped by someone else.
Because a lot of good ideas out there, you think, oh, if only I'd thought of that. It's
yeah.
So simple.
Well, there's a lot of synchronicity that goes on, isn't there? You know, Pixar and whoever come out with a film about bugs, and then there's Bugs Life, and then ants coming out at the same time. And
Disney Pixar Cars. Who picks your cars? Disney Pixar Cars.
Yeah. What?
but
you know what I'm saying? There's always a rash. There was the meteor film rash, wasn't there? There's Armageddon and
yes.
Deep Impact and all that kind of thing. But those were the ones that succeeded and got above ground. What have you ever had an idea of yours be trumped by the big boys?
That's what we want. Ideas that you think you had first. So get emailing. And thanks to everybody who's texted and emailed during the show. We've kind of had too much to stuff in today.
Yeah, well, we can use some of it next week.
Don't forget, the show will be available to listen again on the Six Music website all week, as will the two songs in Song Wars, so please keep voting.
Yeah, speaking of listening again, by the way, I hope you don't mind me just plugging a show that I'm involved with in a small way. It's John Holmes' new show. Our Six Music brother, John Holmes, has a show called Listen Against, which is on Radio 4 at 6:30 on Wednesdays. It's a kind of insane topical satire thing. So check that out. I think you'll enjoy it. But anyway, thanks very much indeed. Liz Kershaw's coming up.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.